This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changer, Purdy Insurance, and Sunbury Motor Company. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio here in Sunbury. Big day coming up locally. Big night locally too last night. Hopefully you got a chance to listen to Doug Birdsong on our sister station at 100.9 The Valley last night. Bucknell men handled American pretty easily. It ended up being I'm going to confuse the scores because the Bucknell men won 80-57, and I think the Penn State women won 80-56, or it's the opposite. And Bucknell will head to the top seed Colgate on Sunday. Didn't have a time when we did the story last night in the paper, so I didn't see if they have a time for tip yet on Sunday. Penn State women play this evening at 6:30 on the Big Ten Network against Caitlin Clark and Iowa in the Big Ten Tournament quarterfinals. And of course, of huge interest around here, the PIAA Wrestling Championships is going on down in Hershey. Local area doing pretty well. Have, looks like, nine different kids in the tonight's semifinals in 2A. Three other wrestlers still alive for medals. Shikalimi has Connor Wenzel and Seelensgrove's Jack Peters are still alive in 3A for gold medals. The rest of the contingent from 3A is down in the consolations right now. And Carissa Springer of Seelensgrove became the first area girl to win a match probably not more than 2 or 3 minutes ago. She was down 8-0 to a wrestler from the Lehigh Valley and turned that round around in a pin. So she's the first local female wrestler to win a match in the PIAA tournament. So congratulations to Carissa Springer. So in the semis locally in 2A, which semifinals are tonight at 7 o'clock. Brock Rothamel, the freshman standout from Lime Mountain, is through at 114. The Herrer brothers from up in Montgomery are through at Brandt. Through at 133. I think he's now, one is now 54-0 and the other one is 53-0. His brother Connor Herrer moved on to the semis as well from Montgomery. Both Milheim brothers from Warrior Run in the semifinals. Reagan at 145 and Cameron at 152. Matt Smith of Midwest probably pulled off the biggest win of the day for the Valley. He beat defending state champion Cooper Hornack of Burrell in the 139 pound quarterfinals. He moves into the semifinals tonight. Southern Columbia has two semifinalists. Mason Barvitsky joins Reagan Milheim in the 145 pound semifinals, but to get the rematch of the District 4 final and the Northeast Regional final, both Milheim and Barvitsky are going to have to win their semifinal matches. Also through is Garrett Garcia at 189 pounds for Southern Columbia. He hasn't been on the mat long yet. I believe he won 9-2 and 11-2 so far. He's into the semifinals, and that's one of the more impressive performances. I think we've gotten further away from the football season. He suffered I think they wanted to downplay it a little bit since he kept playing, but he suffered a fairly significant knee sprain in the District 4 championship game at Troy, and was able to play through it and be a standout in the state playoffs. And now he's two wins away from joining his older brother Gage as a state champion from Southern Columbia. And then at 215, Aaron Johnson from Muncie, who also made it to the semifinals. And as a casual wrestling fan, that might be the one I'm most excited for, just in the sense, I don't know if you guys remember, Aaron Johnson was undefeated as a freshman at 215 and decided he wanted to see if he could become the first freshman heavyweight champion in Pennsylvania history, and he ended up losing in the state finals as a freshman, and now as a junior. He has one loss this year at 215, but to claim a back-to-back state championships at 215 after winning as a sophomore, he's going to have to beat Rune Frazier, who is going for a fourth straight state title. Of course, now his school escapes me, but he's from District 7 out in Pittsburgh, so that should be a fun one to take a look at later on this week. I believe the finals are all at 7 o'clock tomorrow.
You love this stuff, don't you?
I enjoy it.
Of course you enjoy it.
I've been doing it for 30 years. If I didn't, I probably wouldn't be.
You should enjoy it. I think it's great. It's great. You know?
You don't do this, as you know, you don't do this stuff for such a long time without enjoying the heck out of it.
Yeah, it was interesting because I was asked, I had some meetings yesterday with the new rights holder for Penn State, which is going to be Playfly. Suit's name came up. It was kind of an ugly scene, actually. They mentioned something about restraining order. I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy. They got it. But they asked me about if I were approached about another job. You know, and they mentioned teams or whatever. What would you do? And they said, well, I said, number one, I have on several occasions. Number two, I said, everybody in this business has what they think is the job. Maybe CBS, NBC, right, whatever it may be, ESPN. I said, I've always thought the Penn State job was the job. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the kind of fun you have with it. Yeah, you know, and it is. It's, you know, you enjoy the job. And that's big, when you enjoy it. And I enjoy it. You enjoy it. You know, there may be a certain person you don't like working with. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding about that.
Well, and we're both at the point that we've been doing this long enough at the same place that developing the connections that we have at the current job would be way more difficult at a new job.
You have to win over a lot of people.
Yes.
Right. Well, and like in this job, I mean, you know, it may not be that many people, but both are happy. So, I mean, it's like, it's like, which fans out there could you win over? Well, those two. I'm very, very pleased that they did, that they like me. Everybody else, they have issues. They have questions. Yeah, that's good. You know, that's why we love it. We love it, no doubt. And yeah,
gets us out of the house.
Ooh, well, that's a big. I don't think that's not a big part either. I got to get this guy out of here. So the Fox Sports it's getting out there now that they're going to do a Friday night football package. It will not all be Big Ten games. It'll be a combination of Big Ten, Big 12, Mountain West, which happen to be, of course, the three football leagues that Fox has affiliations with and rights to. So along the way, you're asking yourself, does that mean there could be a Friday night game in Beaver Stadium? No. Because Penn State has already made it plain to everybody, along with Michigan and Ohio State, that we're not playing Friday night games at home. High school football is for Friday nights, at least in our state. Now, I will point out that when it comes to this issue, let's remember that, and I've said this before, I am a hypocrite. I will proclaim over and over again that Friday night is for high school football, Saturday is for college, and Sunday is for the NFL. You're saying, well, where are you a hypocrite? Well, the hypocrite is, if there's a Friday night college game on TV, I probably are going to watch it. That's where the hypocrite comes in. Right? I mean, because, oh, look, I don't get out to high school football games on a Friday night. I mean, once in a great while, I've gone to like a state high game. And, you know, once in a while. But that's been about it. I'll watch high school football on TV. Remember, I watched a couple of Southern Columbia games on TV last year that were on because I wanted to see them play. I think I saw them play Danville. And I'll watch some games on TV. We have a couple of games on here in the State College area. You know, my friend Brian Tripp does some. My friend Joe Putnam does some. And I'll watch some of those games once in a while. But if there's a really compelling college game on, I'm going to watch it. That's where the hypocrite comes in. Oh, no. No. I'll watch. But don't expect Penn State to have a home game on a Friday night or Michigan or Ohio State. It doesn't mean, Doug says, are watching Kevin and the Chief on YouTube. I'll watch the Chief. Okay. by the way, congrats to Bucknell basketball. Before I continue, great win over American last night. Great win. They're hot down the stretch. That's four in a row. That's four in a row now. Yeah, Bucknell's won. Hey, that time of the year. That time of the year. Oh, Kevin's the one that texted me, watching Kevin and the Chief on YouTube. You know, there's certain times you get a text from somebody where it just screams out that it's a cry for help. Look at me. Look at me. You texted about yourself? Really? But again, congrats to Bucknell, John Griffin, and those guys. Great win in America. What did they win by, 13? Oh, more than that.
Yeah, it was 80. Like I said, I'm confused. One was 80. One, the Bucknell, I think, was 80 to 57, and the win, yeah, Penn State win was 80 to 56.
Yeah. The Lady Lions, by the way, get Iowa. Don't they have a guard? That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think she's okay. She's in a State Farm commercial with Jake, I think.
Yeah. And Jenny Taff. Let's give Jenny some credit. Yes. Yeah, that's tonight. We'll get into that a little bit later. Couple things I do want to say about that. But the Friday night football thing, Fox is going to go all in on it. Remember, Fox has bought its seat at the table to do this. Here's the reason why. when Oregon and Washington came in, Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, went to Fox. And we know that Washington and Oregon are in on half shares. But they needed to still cover the half shares. Because you're not going to take from everybody else to do this. Like we've talked about the pie concept a thousand times. So Fox kicked in the extra money per year to bring them in. Well, guess what? When you do that, you get another time slot. And so they're going to do a time slot. And what they did was, instead of carrying WWE 52 nights a year, they're no longer going to do WWE on Friday nights. They think they can get better ratings carrying college football on Friday nights for a part of the year. And so the money they saved from the WWE, they then kicked into this, which helped them pay for Oregon, Washington. And there's more inventory now in the Big Ten to carry already. So now you got a Friday night time slot. You have a Saturday noon time slot, a 3:30 CBS time slot, a 7:30 NBC time slot, and lots of time slots in between filled by the Big Ten Network. So, all right. We'll take a break. Today's show brought to you in part by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, we will. The mystery on Carter Storace will be solved before our eyes tomorrow. So we'll see what he does and how he looks doing it. I mean, that's...
If it was any other program, any other sport, I would think with the how close to the vest they're playing it that he's pretty seriously injured. But they play everything so close to the vest that I have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. And it's not as if Carter Storace has never had to fight back from injuries before. He's a pretty tough kid. And we will see. I mean, it's the number one mystery going into the Big Ten championships. The number two, of course, going in is, can you get all 10 through? And I never make that assumption. But you want to get all 10 through, because you want all 10 to have a shot at being All-Americans. At the same time, it gives you a real shot at garnering as many points as possible. To win another title with ease. I was glad you were able to get the show rolling with the PIAAs. You were immersed in it. I just kind of kicked back and listened.
I was immersed in it last night, man. I was the desk guy. I had to read all those, so.
Yeah. That does help you immerse yourself.
Yeah, when you had to read every single piece of Bagot from it.
Yeah. All right. More next half hour. It's also a big basketball weekend. We'll talk about it next.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show from the Sunbury Motors Studio is brought to you in part by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, whatever it may be. They'll make sure you're fully insured. And they'll also make sure when it comes to the price, they'll do everything they can to save you money. You're looking to save money more than ever. That way, maybe you have a couple extra dollars to go to the grocery store. That's turned into a trip and a half the last few years. It's all at Sunbury Motors. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And again, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The Lady Line basketball team won big over Wisconsin last night. They will get Iowa tonight at 6:30 on Big Ten Network. It'll be sold out tonight. They'll mix up their defenses. That's what, you know, Carolyn does that. They mix up defenses. They'll put pressure on full court and so forth. But what is interesting is that when you watch the teams that have had some success at slowing her down, they've been able to get in her face one-on-one while still guarding the other four. And that's where certain teams, Ohio State when they were at home, Nebraska when they shut her out in the fourth quarter and won, they got, like, Tom Brady. Tom Brady did not like most quarterbacks, pressure up the middle. Well, that's with her. What's difficult about her is that if you go out with the idea that, hey, you know, we're going to run a second person at her, turn her a certain way, this, that, and the other thing, the problem is you can do that with somebody who's a good passer, but you can't do it with somebody who's an exceptional passer. And she's an exceptional passer who sees the floor. And thus, that second person you run at her is probably going to be the one that gets exploited by a pass to a wide-open player. So look, we'll do the best we can, hang in one-on-one, guard everybody else, and let the chips fall. Now, Carolyn, you know, smarter than I am. She'll change up defenses and do some full-court stuff and things that they're familiar with doing. I'm just saying, with this player, I literally would just take somebody and say, you know what, player. Don't worry about things. Just play her. We'll play everybody else. We're going to play her. So,
I really wouldn't worry about her points. I'd be more worried about her assists, because her assists lead to easy baskets for the most part. And, you know, if she makes some of those deep threes, then so be it.
And when they played them last time, Hannah Stolke crushed them down low.
Yeah.
Had 47, 48 points. So that's why I said, you know, you can run somebody at her. It just, you know what? She takes shots, let her take shots. It's fine. Right? You know, sometimes you've got to make a bet on something. Right? I'm not going to make them all. So, let's go out and see how it plays out. But something I'm confused about with the Lady Lions, not as a team, but as their ranking. I saw the other night on Women's Bracketology, they were the second team out. But then you looked at their net ranking, and they're 25. Like, what? Well, I'm confused here. If your net ranking is 25, you're way into the tournament. I thought that was the primary gauge that they were using on these things. Right? If your net is 25, and it's just going to, I mean, it actually may go up one or two tonight just by stepping on the floor with Iowa, because your strength of schedule goes up automatically. That part confuses me about what they're saying about this team when it comes to bracketology. How do you have a net ranking that high and be thought to be fighting your way into the tournament? Makes no sense to me. But that's tonight at 6:30. Back to Friday night Big Ten football on Fox. And you know that, for example, I mean, the only one of the four West Coast entries that did not play on a Friday night game last year was Oregon, believe it or not. UCLA, Washington, USC all played a Friday night game. If I were to look at two spots on the Penn State schedule where there was, quote, potential for a Friday night game, and not here, by the way, one would be the opener with West Virginia, because Fox has both control of the Big 12 and, well, I mean, ESPN can carry the game, too. I don't know who has the choice. But Fox has a contract with the Big 12 and has a contract with the Big 10. Possible. Unless ESPN picks it. And then there's one later in the year that where if you really want, you don't worry about the home team having a shorter week. You get concerned about the road team having a shorter week. And it's not as if Penn State hasn't had Friday night road games before. They played at Illinois. They played at Maryland. Last year they played at Ford Field against Michigan State on Black Friday. But there's a spot in the schedule where Penn State plays at Wisconsin following a bye week. I wonder if that might be a consideration. Just throwing it out there as a late October game. But I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just spitballing here, okay? And then we'll see how it plays out. Again, will I watch some of the games? Yeah. Do I advocate high schools for Friday nights? Yeah. At least I admit it. I will watch some of those games. All right. The college football playoff. They are in deep discussions right now about what to do with the college football playoff. So now they're at a spot, as discussions continue, that the SEC and the Big Ten want guaranteed buys. And now that is starting to, like, nah, maybe not, because the public has come out and said they don't like the idea. Like, earn your spot. That's fine. And when you look at, it looks like the format probably will not be determined before they get the TV contract done, because the TV contract is not done. You've seen stories about ESPN, but it's not done yet. It hasn't been approved yet. There is support for the 14-team field beginning in the new contract, which starts in 2026. So the 14-team field already has support. What doesn't have support is that the Big Ten champion gets an automatic bye and the SEC champion gets an automatic bye. The idea is you need to earn your spots. The format is up to debate, so all the options are still being considered. Now, I don't know if it's being considered to do 3-3, 2-2-1, and then three at-larges. Sounds like that's in pretty good shape for the most part. We'll see how it plays out. Now, revenue, they say, will tilt. Heather Dinich reports from ESPN that revenue will continue to tilt toward the Big Ten and the SEC in the next contract, and it should. Okay? No offense. When 15 of the 18 schools are in that 50% group of TV viewing for college football, you sort of already have earned your spot. The ACC is expected to receive slightly more than the Big 12 because of its past playoff participants. but it's a minor difference. The ACC has had six college football playoff semifinalists. In the Big 12, the only current member is TCU. Okay, Cincinnati earned it outside of because they were in the American. And yes, for some crazy reason, money is being discussed.
You talk about the buys. How often would the construct of the Big Ten and the SEC for this playoff, would the conference champion not get a bye anyway?
It'd be rare.
Yeah. So
It would be rare. I mean, in this particular year, the SEC team would have to play the opening round. It would have been Alabama. Because the top two would have been Michigan and Washington. All right. So this past year, that's the way it would have been. The year before, it would have been the SEC champion Georgia and the Big Ten champion Michigan. So most years, I'd have to go back and do some research, but there'd be many years where the top two teams might be the SEC and the Big Ten. Now, there have been years where Clemson has. When Ohio State won the national title, they were a four, so they would have had to have played the opening round that year. So it's a mixed bag. SEC, not so much. Big Ten, more so. So. And that's...
When you start looking at the stuff next year, you know, when they look at, you know, they start seeding these teams, I find it hard to believe that with the current structure, with, you know, like you said, 15 of the 18, that the two top seeds won't be from those two conferences.
Well,
I guess maybe Clemson or Florida State, depending, but I mean, when you look at the strength of schedule of that Big 12 and the ACC versus those other two conferences, is going to be a huge difference.
Well, I mean, so let's at least take a look at the history of it. Okay, so in the history of it, the SEC would have had a bye in the first one, and the Pac-12 because it was Oregon. All right, which I already outlined that Ohio State was the number four seed. The next year was the ACC Clemson and the number two Alabama. So far the Big Ten has none. Now we get to 17. Okay. In 17, the number one seed was Alabama, and the number two seed was Clemson. Ohio State was a three. So far the Big Ten's had none. Now we get to 18. And in 18, the number two seed was the Big 12, Oklahoma. The number one seed was Clemson. So even though the Big Ten, and the Big Ten didn't have anybody in the semifinal, so it was ACC, Big 12, right? So now, after that, let's see, back to history here, we get to the 19 year. ACC again, Clemson, and Alabama number one, no Big Ten team again. Notre Dame was in that year. So far, the Big Ten's not faring well in this. They haven't had any. But now we get to 20 and things start to change a little bit. SEC champion LSU, number two, Ohio State. So there's one where they have both. 21, number one, Alabama. Number two, Clemson. Ohio State was three. Okay, so the Big Ten would have had one bye so far. Okay, then we get to Alabama and Michigan. Okay, Michigan was the number two seed when they played Georgia. Didn't go well for Michigan, but they were the number two seed. So that's two. We get to 23, and we already talked about that. Okay, so only two. No, that's three, because Georgia and Michigan were 1-2, right? and Ohio State was the fourth one in there. So that's three. And then, of course, this past year, no, because of Washington was the two and Michigan was the one. So only three times in the 14 playoff did both the ACC, both the SEC and the Big Ten champion would have had byes under this new format. Only three times. So if you can see the arguments being made by the other conferences, I can understand why they're making the arguments. They do have history on their side. And after 12 seconds of research, you can find out.
my argument on that, though, is in the current configuration, I just find it hard to believe that the ACC is going to grab one of those spots from a Big Ten or an SEC team.
Right, and that's where you are in this, because last year, let's see, Washington lost to Texas from the Big 12. I mean, Washington beat Texas from the Big 12, and Michigan beat Alabama. So there wasn't even an ACC team in it last year, because Florida State, even though they were undefeated, finished fifth. And Texas is now in the SEC. Washington is now in the Big Ten. So all four teams are either from last year are going to be either Big Ten or SEC teams this year.
Uh-oh.
That in itself is tells a lot. And when you go back to the fact that Oregon was in there a couple times, they're going to be a Big Ten team. So it's a power play, but here's the power play that Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti are making. We're the people want to watch. They have the numbers to back it up. Right, they have the numbers to back it up. There's 18 schools. In that 50% mark, 15 are either SEC or Big Ten. Eight SEC, seven Big Ten. Okay. Tells you a lot. All right. We'll take a break. Suit says he needs to self-promote. He texted that to me. I mean, that explains the billboards on Route 45, doesn't it?
I haven't seen those yet.
And the plane that flew over yesterday with the tail? It's just, I don't know. He leads the league in self-promotion. I mean, he's screaming out left and right, here I am, here I am. Unfortunately, the response he's got, yeah, we got you. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. All right, this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. We'll do everything they can to make sure you're fully insured and save you money. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I mean, the 14-team field, look, it's more inventory. They also, they'll probably have the TV contract worked out first. And then get the 14-team field set. The auto-buy thing threw a wrench into it. Meanwhile, in the NFL, Patrick Peterson is going to be released by the Steelers. Was with the Steelers 1 year in their defensive backfield. So Patrick Peterson will be gone. He'll be released. Russell Wilson is talking allegedly to the Steelers and the Giants. Okay. There you go.
going to say, he's supposedly in Pittsburgh as we speak.
There you go. All right. And some terrific college basketball tomorrow, including Houston hosting Kansas at 4 and Duke at Cameron hosting North Carolina at 6:30. Pretty good deal, huh?
Hey,
not bad.
I was going to say, guess who's off?
Yeah. Okay. So Pepperdine last night in the West Coast Conference tournament jumped out to a 26-0 lead over Pacific. I'm flipping through last night, and when I turned it on and saw, oh, let's see what's going on here. It was 29-2. I went, what? I'm looking at it like, I'm staring at the TV like, that has to be a typo. No. Well, after that, 29-2, Pepperdine then scored 73 more points, and Pacific only scored 41 more points. The final was 102-43. They won by 59 points. They were up 26-0, 39-2, led 56-9 at halftime. They shot 69% from the field. Pacific shot 11%. I know you'll be shocked to find out that Pacific suffered its 17th consecutive loss.
It forced me to look them up last night. They were 0-16 in the league.
They just fired their coach.
Yeah, I was going to say it was an interim coach, too.